Okay. Mic check, mic check. Everybody hear me, guys? Oh, good. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet, Brother Daniel, yours truly. I was going to make an announcement before we start here, and that was that Holly Dog wasn't going to be here, but he's here. Also, because he's one of the ones that has a mic that works, knows how to use it, and ain't afraid to talk. Also, another one that has a mic that knows how to use it and is comfortable talking is Sissy. She won't be here. She asked for prayer for me to mention her for prayer for you guys this week because her granddaughter, whose name is Emily, had major surgery this past Thursday, and she's going to be recovering from that surgery for a whole week in the hospital this week. So the hospital, they said, is a 2-hour drive round trip from Sissy and Joe's place, and back. So she wants us to keep those guys in prayer. The operation's already over, so I don't know what happened, but at least for traveling mercies, and the Lord be with the family this week. So if you all want to keep them in prayer, this week, please do. I know I said jokingly last week that this is going to be Ask the Rabbi Hour, but I'm hoping that everybody's going to participate here, okay? So if someone has a question or someone has a topic they want to bring up, they want to discuss or whatever, raise your hand, text it in or type it in or raise your hand, take the mic, and I'm going to throw the thing out for everybody to answer, for everybody to comment on. I want everybody to engage, to participate here if you want. I'm not trying to force anybody, but I want everybody to feel free to answer any questions that come up. Feel free to have any comments on the issues that are brought up. And if anybody has any word, there's a couple of people said they have a little word they'd like to give. That's good, good. We'll do that first, and we'll see what happens. All right. So I'm just not going to automatically answer everything. I'm going to let everybody else answer, and then if I feel to put my 2 cents in, I'll do it. Okay. So let's see. I was looking for Brother Hugh Shortknocker because he had his hands up the other week and he wanted to share and I missed it and I started talking and he didn't get a chance to share. I told him next time he comes on he's going to have the first opportunity to share what he wanted to share, but looks like he's not here. All right, so then we're going to open it up. Whoever has a word they want to share, just so we don't aren't confused and everybody trying to talk at the same time, just raise your hand. Let me call on you. So there's no confusion here, okay? Raise your hand, and I'll give you the mic. All right. So who's going to go first? Who's going to step out tonight and be the first one? You got a question you want to ask? You want something to share? You got a subject you want to bring up? Anything like that? Go ahead. Let's see. Okay, let me see. Holly Dog, go ahead. You got your hand up first. Go ahead, Holly Dog.
I've been talking with Dan this week about some stuff going on with the family that it's kind of. I won't go into all the details. It's long and everything, but I did have a few things. I actually sat down yesterday and wrote out some things, praises and lessons learned through the situation with the family here lately, and I wanted to share a couple of those with you guys if I could. Just kind of a praise thing, but anyways, this last week and a half or so, the Lord's really been working in my life through my life for somebody else in our family. He's my brother-in-law. And we've grown pretty close even though we're about 800 miles apart in the last couple of years. And through all these things, God's really revealed himself to all of us. And I can't thank the Lord enough for that. It amazes me. Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And it truly amazes me how great God is and the things that he's made and all the things that he's done in this world. And he still takes the time to speak to me. As insignificant as I am in this whole of creation, he still takes that time to be a personal God. And that just floors me every time I think about that. I want to take the time too to praise God just for his revelation through the word, the written word and the spirit and everything. And the fact that not only has he given me revelation and some of the things that have been going on this past week and a half, but he's also confirmed that revelation through others. Through Dan, for one, through my brother-in-law that's been in the midst of this whole thing. And another thing is, when the Bible says it, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Well, God gave a dream to Pharaoh, and Joseph came and gave him the meaning of that dream, and he told Pharaoh that the Lord has doubled it unto thee twice, because the matter's been established and it'll soon come to pass. And it just, the Lord really showed me again here in the last couple of days how he is his own witness, and beside him there is no other God. So who can give a witness besides him? But he is his own witness, and it just, what a great God. Dan's taught 100 times on this website about you have to test the spirits by God's word, but also, it's almost heresy for people to say it seems like, but the written word is not quite enough. You know, there has to be, and I don't want to take anything away from God's written word. I love his word, but there has to be that inner witness. There has to be a witness from the Holy Spirit of God about what exactly is going on. And the things that are going on, you may not be able to detect through the written word, but through his witness, you can always tell. He won't let you down. God's confirmed for us here in this last couple of weeks that the gifts that are spoken of throughout the New Testament are still very much in effect. And he's been able to bestow upon me this last week or so a word of knowledge in my brother's situation that he's going through. And an understanding also of the way that the enemy operates. And I spent quite a while in the military when I was a little bit younger, and tactics fascinate me. And one of the things that you've always got to do as a soldier or in the military is understand not only how you fight and the way you do things, but also the enemy, so that you know how to defeat that enemy. And if you don't know how they work, you're going to get defeated, because they're going to blindside you somewhere. And in this last week, the Lord showed me a lot some of the tactics that the enemy uses to come after God's people. And I want to witness here, confirm Dan too, that the things that he's been telling us about the enemy, everything I've listened to has been exactly 100% on. So a little bit of confirmation there too. And in all this stuff that's going on too, I mean, as I've spent a lot of time this last week just on my knees in tears, watering prayers and praying and lifting my brother up. But even during all that, and the fear of what could possibly happen when this brother, if he were to fall, the Lord still gives peace in the midst of all those things. And I've never really gotten a hold of that peace until this week, and it amazes me. And also, I guess the last point I'll make, and I'll get off here, but I don't guess I've ever truly understood just how much, I mean, you read about it all the time in the Bible, how the Lord loves his people, and you hear it, and it's, all this stuff is something completely different when you experience it. You know, it brings everything that you've heard and you've learned to life. And the experience that God has for us, it magnifies him so much more. And the Lord showed me again this week just exactly how much he loves his children, and how much he's merciful toward his children, and how much long-suffering he has for his children. And I guess that's about it. I just wanted to give a few praises. And so I'll give back the mic if I can figure out how to release this thing. Dan, I appreciate all your help this week.
Thanks, Holly Dog. I really appreciate it. That was a good testimony, good word. Rich, and you got the mic. Go ahead, brother.
I've got this short word written down so that I wouldn't forget it, because the Lord's been working it in my spirit the last couple of days. I would like to share something in the Word tonight that the Lord has been speaking to me, and I hope that it will speak to your heart also. By faith, I pray you and I walk in this. The Lord is making this so real to me, especially in my personal life in the last couple of days, that even as we put on the full armor of God and resist the enemy, we must also realize the need to walk in the Spirit and be obedient and be sanctified. We must be obedient to his word and to his will in our lives. We only learn obedience the same way that the Lord did, by the things which he suffered. Although the Lord was without sin, which we are not, I would now like to read Hebrews 12:3-11. Verse 3 starts with, "For I consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." In verse 3 and 4, the writer of Hebrews is telling us not to faint, for Jesus, our Lord and example, resisted temptation unto the shedding of great drops of blood, and it was against his own will and striving against sin to please the Father. And we have not yet resisted that much in our own lives. We need to hate all sin in our lives, and with his grace in our wills and the desire to be free, we work together with him to overcome that sin in our lives. We all know that what would happen if he had not done the Father's will. Well, the same thing applies to us if we continue in certain sins. This is also explained further in the book of Matthew chapter 26 and Luke 23 about the struggle that the Lord had in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm not going to read that, but we definitely need to be reminded of what he endured that night, that we might have his grace and power to work with us to overcome sin in our lives. Let me continue on verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with a son. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you be without chastisement, where all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more in this subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, that for their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. As we walk with the Lord, he tests us and chastens us. Why? Why does he do this? Because he loves us. He only chastens those whom he loves. We are not to despise his chastenings and rebukes." I notice that he said rebukes. Most people pass that up, I know I have, and just talk about the chastenings. And yes, the Lord has rebuked me this week for a serious sin in my life, but thank God he was gentle. God had a faithful brother do it. But I know if I continue in that sin, I'm sure God will ring my bell a lot louder than before. Worse than that could happen after. I have repented to the Lord, and I repent before all of you tonight. This chastening has been good for me. This has its perfect work in my life. Sorry, I got off track there. I'm learning, and we should also to rejoice in the chastenings, and also when he rebukes us, knowing, as he says, no, in Hebrews, that when we endure and learn from them, it is going to produce his holiness and purity in us, and the peaceable fruit of divine righteousness. Again, we learn obedience through all this as we submit to his will. I am hoping this is not too negative. I do not know if you know this, but a nuclear power is produced by decays or death. So by our death, God's grace empowers us through Christ to be an overcomer. As Christ said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. The Lord Jesus brings forth the new man in us as we put on the new man and as we put off the old man. We do our part. We must die to self. We do not just sit around waiting for obedience to happen. It's not very much fun dying to self, but we must if we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord would remind us also that it's not just enduring these things. We must also be on our guard by taking up the full armor of God, being obedient and submitting to the Lord and resisting the devil. We must also walk in exercising discernment so that we know the difference from when it is the Lord working in us or testing us or if Satan is attacking us. We need to be, as Harold has said, grow up into him and not be babies who need their diapers changed, so that we can discern and know between good and evil. My prayer is that I truly walk without reservations in what the Lord has shown me in the last 2 days, reaching forward and forgetting what lies behind, pressing into the Lord. Change our lives, Lord. Help us to have the mind of Christ in all things. If you would, please keep me in prayer, as I do not want to fall back into that sin again. It is a very serious thing. Thank you, Daniel and Annabelle, for the grace you have shown me. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. I love this fellowship, and God bless you all, brothers and sisters. Please walk before the Lord. Your life depends upon it. Amen.
Amen. Hang on. Before anybody else talks, I'd like to just take a minute and say a prayer for Brother Rich. He's going through something right now. He's fighting something. I mean, he said it's a sin, so that's no secret. And when you're caught in a sin and you have a heart for righteousness and you want to serve God, it's a horrible thing to live with. And so let's just all say a little prayer for him right now and ask the Lord to strengthen him. Lord Jesus, we all come to you now as a little group, as a little fellowship, and we hold up Brother Rich and this problem he's dealing with, the thing he's dealing with, Lord. We ask you to give him the strength. Give him the strength to resist it the next time. Let him walk in you and your new man, in Christ the new man. Live and walk in the Spirit so overcome that thing, Lord. We just lift him up before your throne right now, Lord. And we stand with him and encourage him to keep fighting. Keep fighting. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing, Brother Rich. I'm praying for you. That was a good word too, Rich, by the way. That was a good little word you got there. Amen. Okay, you got the mic, brother.
It's been a lot, actually, that's happened the last two Sundays. We haven't actually been on in the chat room. But anyway, suffice to say, I did send a email to Dan telling him that we celebrated our 12th, my wife and I, anniversary last Sunday, and we actually went to the coast and had a great time. So anyway, but it's nice to be back in the room. I'm also glad to see that we're actually doing an open mic. And so anyway, I have a lot of different things that I would like to share, but I think I'm going to go ahead and ease into this and just share one of the things that has been a blessing to me. This morning, my wife and I were having our time together, and we were going over different passages in Scripture, and one of them that really jumped out, because I'm still going through this book David Hunt, and it's called What Love Is This? And in there, he made a point about John 1:12 and 13, because the Calvinists have a big problem in thinking that that you have to first be born again before you can receive faith. And also they believe faith is a gift and not salvation, because they love Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. So as I'm going through this study, I've been studying actually that book for since January of this year. So I've been taking my time. And one of the things that's very disturbing in some ways and interesting in others, disturbing in the sense that I remember being taught those errors and remembering also struggling with, that's not consistent with Scripture, but I always accepted what the minister said or one of the other teachers said about a passage. And for instance, let me go to John 1:12, and there's something there I want to point out. I got the King James Version of the Bible in front of me. So in John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And the verse 13, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And the thing that's fantastic about this is that it's saying there that we all are regenerated by God. That's clear and simple, especially if you turn to John 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, you know, because Dan made it clear a couple of weeks ago, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the key thing is that in the Old Testament, all you could be was the Adamic nature. In the New Testament, you have not only the Adamic nature, but the divine nature. And that's why we have an opportunity to be the new man and have the divine nature and walk in the newness of life. And so here, when you talk to a Calvinist, they say, see, look right there in verse 13. You can't have faith apart from being born again. And in order to receive a gift, you have to be born again. And all it's saying there, if you keep everything in context, is saying in verse 13 that God regenerates. So when they tell us that when we believe that we have to have faith before we're regenerated, they'll go ahead and develop a straw man and said, well, look, you're saying that your faith regenerates you. No, God regenerates. My faith does not regenerate, okay? The person of God does. But if you look at the 12th verse, it's clear. How does it take place? Faith is the condition that leads eventually to God regenerating you. It's a process. Anyway, there's so much more I can say here. And it's just fantastic as you learn these things. And a lot of times I want to get on here and share things. And so I'm glad Dan gave us an opportunity to be able to share what God puts on our heart from time to time. And there's more. I'll let other people have the mic right now. But if I get a chance, I'll share something else. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Hugh. Good. Yeah. No Calvinism here, brother. Amen. You can share some more then if you want. Go ahead, smart mouth. You got the mic, brother.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I was wondering, I was looking at your website, my wife gave it to me there, and you was talking about the church and how we've missed the mark and everything. I was wondering if you read the book Pagan Christianity by Frank Weiler. A lot of us now seem to be having that given us by the Lord, the revelation of the church, you know, it should be. I've had that revelation for a while, and when I read that book, it was just like confirmation. I wonder if you read it.
I don't know if I read that particular book. I've read different books by people in that same vein, though. I've read Gene Edwards. Gene Edwards was the original church planter. He wrote Revolution, so I read different things along the line. I would probably agree with most of what's said in that book, I imagine. Anything in particular you had in mind?
Well, it's just wonderful to see, really, that everybody, well, not everybody, some people are getting that revelation of the church. And I think it's wonderful that the whole people, and I think, you know, that when you read those books, you know, showing that the church and all the bad things are going on, because me and my wife have been in bad churches for a while now, and false teaching churches, and I think, like, when you look at the church itself, you think it's no wonder all this false teaching is coming in today, because their roots weren't right, you know. And if they stuck with the, if they, like the Anabaptists, I see, is the true inheritors of the early church, you know. If you look at their readings and everything, the Menno Simons and people like, and they were persecuted by the Calvinists and by the Catholics alike and put to death. And you know, it's wonderful to just to see that the Holy Spirit now is telling people about this, and I think it's part of the last days move, I think, where the Lord's bringing us out of Babylon.
Yes, amen. I believe that. I agree with that. Broadbent, I forget his first name, he wrote a church history about all the groups that were outside the system, outside the religious system of Catholicism, and they weren't part of the Reformation. I guess the Anabaptists would fall into that. I can't remember the name of the book, but his name was Broadbent, and it was a church history. And he named all the groups and went through all the groups that were outside that system. There's a third stream. You know, we're always pegged into either Catholicism or Protestantism. And I view myself as part of that third stream that's always been outside the system. Like the Anabaptists were the true reformers. They were the only ones that really were obeying the Word of God at that time. Zwingli, Luther, all of them were compromising with the state and different entities to survive, to propagate their doctrines or anything. So I agree. God's been calling people out of the church since 1948, as far as I'm aware, and been reestablishing the, you know, different things the church had that's lost down through the Dark Ages. So I think we're in agreement on that. I wrote a book, maybe you'll like to check it out on my website. It's called Escaping the Religious System, where I go into a lot of the history of the church, all the garbage where it came from. You might find it interesting, I don't know. Okay?
Yeah, thanks. I've been reading it. It's very good. Recommend it to everybody. Very good article.
Great. Good. Okay. Well, if you ever have any questions, you'd like to email me or talk to me or have any input, feel free to get my brother. All right? Okay, Jenna Ray, go ahead.
Okay, can everyone hear me? Sorry, I have a sore throat. So if it's too hard to understand me, just let me know. So, like I said, when I got into the chat room, I came back to Minnesota last Monday. I might start crying. And that was really hard for me to accept, because I thought Father brought me to Honolulu. For those of you who don't know, I moved to Honolulu last May, and I know that God brought me there, and I know He brought me back. So it seems that He didn't want me to go work there. He wanted me to have a vacation for 3 months. That blesses me beyond anything I know. At the same time, I'm really dying to self, because I really wanted to stay there. My heart really became attached. So it's good. This past week, you know, I finally accepted it when I got back and I was talking with my mom, and you know, I came to a place of peace about it. So I've been working on dying to self daily, as always, and being patient and waiting for a job to come through, because I still haven't found one yet. It's amazing how patience is a virtue, and it's very hard to come by, and that's something that I know has been on my heart, being waiting and active, so to speak, not always having a, not knowing where you're going, I guess, is the main thing, that, you know, you still have to trust in the Lord and know that He has a plan. And even though I don't know what that is exactly, I know it's going to be good, and I know it's going to be a blessing. I know it's what, whatever the Lord wants, because I was bought and paid for. And I just want to encourage everyone to keep pressing in. That's also another thing. The adversary has really been bringing up past sins. And he's very tricky. I didn't realize, and I didn't catch it right away. To encourage everyone to be discerning and watchful of all thoughts, to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I think that was all. I didn't write anything down, so if I got off topic, sorry. But I just bless you all, and I thank you so much, Dan. Thank you, everyone. Amen. I love the Lord, and he's doing a great work in me and everyone I know who is surrendering to him. Thank you.
Amen, sister. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure the Lord will provide for you and take care of you. Go ahead, Judy or Harold or whoever that is.
Thank you. This is quite an evening of testimonies. They're really powerful, and I appreciate them so much. And as Rich said earlier, that I just pray this is a blessing. It's something that I've been meditating on this week, and so I jotted down some thoughts, and I'd like to share them with you. And thankful that God's doing a work in our lives to deliver us from the things that have been a bondage to us so much in the past. And so I come with phobos and tromos, fear and trembling, that my salvation will be worked out according to his will and by his power. And that's the only way it'll ever get done, is God doing it. But recently we have heard much about false security being propagated in the Church of Jesus, both within and particularly without the church system. One of the results of false teaching, in my opinion, is it creates a lack of initiative in us to be overcomers in this life that God wants us to be. Our Father wants to prepare a people who will walk with him in total obedience to his will, so that we may rule and reign with him as kings and priests in eternity. This ruling and reigning thing with God is very serious business. Obedience to his will has to be from the heart, because we want to please him, not because we want to please ourselves or others. We are to be humble servants of the Most High God, growing in the knowledge of his will for our lives. We are to grow up in him, where the life we live is his life in actual righteousness. Do we have to obey? No. If we want to disobey his will and to stay a child, we can. To be disobedient, at the very best, you may enter the kingdom as a child, or at the very least, you will not enter the kingdom at all. God will not use little children to rule in his coming kingdom. And that's why we go through the things that we go through. If we make a choice that we want to follow him wholeheartedly, then he's going to take the things out of our life that keeps us from being wholehearted. Jesus says that, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was exhorting his disciples that their righteousness was to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. At least the scribes and the Pharisees participated with God for their sanctification under the law of Moses. But we are no longer under the law of Moses, but under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The false security teachers think because we are justified through Jesus, there is no participation, that is, obedience to Jesus required on our part for sanctification. By saying we want Jesus to do it all, we've made him no better than Moses. We don't want to meet with God. Moses, you do it for us. When we choose not to obey Jesus, we're just saying, Jesus, you do it all for us. It is a freak of nature to grow old and still be a child. That is, have the mentality to just let Jesus do it all, regardless of what he says for us to do in his word. A child's only desire is for his own selfish needs to be met. Cute when they are young, disgusting when they are old and no longer to be little children. That was my experience. That's my experience when I came to this room, prior to coming to this room, coming to the knowledge of what God wanted to really do in my life. He wants me to share, to be sharing with him in my salvation. That's a hard lesson for a Calvinist or once saved, always saved, or let Jesus do it all type person to accept. But then when you begin to look at his word and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to deal with us in those areas, we'll find that there is a truth in that, that he wants us to walk with him as a choice that we make. John says there is a progression in our walk with the Lord. Little children, young men, and fathers. He is looking for growth in our relationship with him. Jesus is looking for rulers today who are taking responsibility today for our own lives, as where we are led by the Holy Spirit, who gives us the guidance and the power to do so. It is not in our own strength, but as we yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in humble obedience to him, that empowers us to grow. This is walking in the Spirit. Doing nothing, expecting Jesus to do it all, that is walking in the flesh. The false security people have that turned around. How are we going to live our lives in obedience to Jesus in the coming kingdom if we only strive to live our lives for ourselves in this world? This is our proving grounds, the testing ground for our ability to hear God and do what he says in accordance with his will and not our own. The work to be done to prepare us for eternity, at least in our spirit and soul, is to be done in this life. If we do not submit to his lordship in this life, how can we expect him to anoint us to rule in his coming kingdom? Did he not say we would be kings and priests unto him? As the children of Israel were tested in the wilderness, we too are tested in our own experience in this life. As with the children of Israel, where only two of the original that came out of Egypt entered the promised land, there will but not be many out of the church today who will enter in. This is my opinion. I could be wrong, and I hope I am. I have a whole family I'm believing for, and their spouses, and their children, and their grandchildren. I have many in my family that are not saved. I'd like to see every one of them. I'm asking for every one, their life to be changed. It not only defies the word of God, but human logic for us to live apart from obedience to him, to Jesus, and still expect him to call us to his side for the millennial reign. If God is only interested in spiritual beings as opposed to actual, why create the human race? He had already created spirit beings and angels. We must have a heart for God and everything he desires in this life. This must be reflected in how we live this life. This is our proving ground for our life with him in eternity. If we are heirs according to the promise and joint heirs with Jesus, then we must meet the requirements of God's will, the New Testament, the New Covenant, to get our inheritance. This is his last will. He will not change it, and we cannot change it. What wonderful things, what amazing promises that God Almighty is calling each and every one of us to. He is calling us to share in the establishing of his kingdom in this earth, where we will rule and reign with him for eternity. But that kingdom must be established within us first. This is the place where we die to ourselves, we die to the flesh, we die to the world, we die to sin, we die to all those things that pull us away from what God wants us to do. So let us purpose in our hearts to hear and obey him now out of great love for him as our heavenly Father, and that we be obedient children that we might grow up in him in all things. Amen. So I just pray that that's a blessing. God just gave that to me, and this is what he's doing in our life, is to grow us up in him. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Thank you for this room. Thank you, Dan. God bless you.